Our New Testament reading, if you'd like to join along in your own Bible or a pew Bible, is from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 23, beginning with verse 39. And before we read, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, your word is sweeter than honey, honey from the comb. Your word is more precious than gold, than much fine gold. Father, we pray this morning that as we read your word, that your Holy Spirit would illumine our hearts. We pray that your Holy Spirit would seal your word upon our hearts. We pray that you would show us your Son Jesus. And we pray, Father, that your word would show us how to follow your Son Jesus, abiding in his grace, abiding in his mercy, and with joyful hearts seeking to follow your will. We pray this in his holy and precious name. Amen. Luke 23, beginning with verse 39. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence and condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 40. As we continue our study of the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis, Genesis 40. Some time after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house, for I was indeed stolen out of the land of Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were three cake baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the baskets on my head. And Joseph answered and said, "This is its interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you." On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, our passage ends on a rather disheartening note. Joseph was forgotten, disregarded, unremembered. Have you ever been there? Ever been forgotten? Or at least felt disregarded, that someone just disregarded you? Well, that's where Joseph was. Joseph was forgotten. Now you remember he was in Egypt. He was far away from home. He was far away from family. He had been there 11 years since he was 17 years old. And in our passage today, we find Joseph in a pit. Actually, he was in a prison. He was behind bars. But pit is the word that Joseph uses to describe his prison. Look at verse 15 again. In verse 15, Joseph says, "I have done nothing that they should put me in the pit." Now, this was not the first pit that Joseph had found himself in. Years before, living at home, Joseph was the favorite son of his father, Jacob. And this favored status was shown through a gift, a robe of many colors, a robe fit for a prince. And not surprisingly, this favoritism caused problems within the family. His brothers hated him. They hated his preferential treatment. They hated his royal robe. They hated his dreams. So much so that they wanted to kill him. They wanted him dead. They wanted him out of their lives. But instead, they threw him in a pit, a temporary prison, while they considered exactly what to do with him. The opportunity soon came through a band of traveling merchants on their way to Egypt, and so they sold Joseph. They got rid of Joseph, and they made a profit out of it at the same time. So Joseph ended up in Egypt as a slave, a servant in the house of Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh. But despite being away from his family, despite being away from his home in a place that he didn't want to be, a place that he was at against his will, the Lord was with him. And the Lord blessed him. The Lord gave him success, granted him favor, so much so that Joseph became overseer of Potiphar's house, which of course means this: Joseph was in charge. He was in charge of the house, he was in charge of the fields, he was in charge of the animals, he was in charge of the other servants. Next to Potiphar, Joseph held all the authority of the house. But there was only one problem. We looked at this last week. And that was Potiphar's wife. She tried to seduce Joseph day after day after day. But Joseph refused day after day after day, knowing that such an act was a sin against God. Now, this continued day after day after day until one day, when no one else was in the house, Potiphar's wife grabbed him. Instead of simply propositioning Joseph, she seized him in her desire, and we're told that Joseph fled. Desiring to be faithful to the Lord, he ran from temptation. And what was his reward? What was his reward for doing right? What was his recompense for his faithfulness? Prison. Chains. Potiphar's wife accused Joseph of attempted rape, and so he finds himself in another pit. Now, have you ever been in this position, experienced this, or watched it unfold before your eyes, where you had a difficult decision to make. A difficult decision for work, a difficult decision for your family, a difficult decision for a relationship that you were in, where you were confronted with a challenging choice in your life. And you did right. You acted with integrity. You acted with honesty. You acted with uprightness. You were faithful. You were faithful to the Lord. You walked in his ways. You followed his commands. You followed his desire for life, for your life. And you did so even when it would have been easier not to. Even when it would have been easier just to not do anything, not to say anything, to just go along. To go with the flow. Now, perhaps even when, like Joseph, nobody else would know. Nobody. But you were faithful. You did right. And what was your reward? What was your recompense? Perhaps like Joseph, you ended up in a pit. Now, not prison, but maybe you felt like you ended up in a hole for doing right. Maybe you were mocked, maybe you were derided, maybe you were isolated or ostracized or excluded. But you definitely suffered for righteousness' sake. Well, Joseph had done no wrong. He had committed no crime. He was in a pit. But again, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him in the pit. And the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. He is with you even when you find yourself in a pit, in a hole in life. And that's true whether that's where you're at right now, if you're in some kind of hole right now, or whenever you do. Just like Joseph, the Lord is with you. And he knows. He knows. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord blessed Joseph. The Lord gave him success, gave him favor, even in the pit, even in prison. So much so that the keeper of the prison, this does sound like a familiar story, put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. But this was God's plan at work. This was God's plan unfolding to make Joseph a prince of Egypt so that he would wear royal robes in Egypt and save God's people. Now we're told while Joseph was overseer of the prison that two of Pharaoh's officials were sent to the prison. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, the one who provided Pharaoh with wine at his table for every meal, and Pharaoh's chief baker. Both committed an offense against the king. We're not told what that offense was, but it was enough to anger Pharaoh, enough to have Pharaoh throw them into the pit that happened to be. And that's a theme in Joseph. Nothing just happens. It just happened to be in Joseph's prison, Joseph's pit. Again, part of God's plan. One morning, Joseph saw that these two officials were troubled. The text says that their faces were downcast. They looked upset. Now, rather than ignore it and move on with his day, rather than ignore it and move on with his duties, his business, Joseph actually takes time to ask, to inquire, what's wrong? What's the matter? You look troubled. How about you? Do you take time? And when you notice that those around you are clearly troubled, their face downcast, do you ignore it and move on? Do you move on with your day? Do you move on with your tasks? Or do you ask? Do you inquire? We live in such a busy world that taking time is actually countercultural. Compassionate listening is actually countercultural. But such simple acts show forth the love of Jesus to anybody around you. Well, Joseph did. Joseph took time, and their response is found in verse 8, and this was how they responded. They said, "We've had dreams, and there's no one to interpret them." The cupbearer had a dream. The baker had a dream. And in ancient Near Eastern cultures, dreams were valued. They were thought to offer a glimpse into the future. And some societies, such as Egypt, had professional dream interpreters. Pharaoh would have had a number of professional dream interpreters in his court. Now, even today in some societies in the East, dreams are important. Dreams are important to many Muslim cultures as well. And if you do any reading about Islam and about Muslims converting to Christianity, you'll find a number of testimonies where dreams were involved, where dreams played a role in a Muslim coming to faith in Jesus. Now, notice in our text that the dreams themselves did not upset the cupbearer and the baker. What upset the cupbearer and the baker, what troubled them, was the fact they had nobody to interpret them. They had nobody to tell them what these dreams meant. They had no access to dream interpreters. They wanted to understand them. They wanted to know what they meant. They wanted to know what they pointed to. Both assumed that their dreams revealed something that was about to happen. And this is how Joseph answers them in verse 8. Joseph says, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." And Joseph gives witness to the Lord. He points to the Lord, not to his own insight, not to his own skill, not to his own wisdom regarding dreams. He points to the Lord, the one who knows all, who is over all, who created all, including dreams. Interpretation belongs to the Lord. And guided by the Lord, Joseph interprets their dreams. He speaks truth. He says that the cupbearer's dream shows that in 3 days he would be brought before Pharaoh. In 3 days, Pharaoh would lift up his head and restore him to his position, to his office, to his position, to his power. The baker's dream, Joseph interprets, so that in 3 days he too would be brought before Pharaoh, and that Pharaoh would lift up his head from his body and place his body on a stake. Now, after interpreting the cupbearer's dream, Joseph speaks these words to him in verse 14. Joseph says this to the cupbearer. He gives him this favorable dream interpretation and says, "Only remember me when it's well with you. Remember me when it is well with you. And please do the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house, for I indeed was stolen out of the land of Hebrews, but here also I've done nothing that they should put me in this pit." Joseph tells the cupbearer he's going to be restored, and he asks a favor. And his favor is to remember him. When the cupbearer is restored to his position and power and authority, to mention his name to Pharaoh, to get him out of the pit. Now, we're told each dream came to pass. Joseph's interpretation given by God came to be. But the cupbearer, when he was restored to office, favored again by Pharaoh, back in Pharaoh's court, back to life as he knew it, once again rejoicing in freedom, rejoicing in his privilege, he put prison out of his mind. And he forgot Joseph. Joseph was forgotten, disregarded. For 2 years, 2 years, he remained in the pit. Forgotten. It's hard to be forgotten, isn't it? It's hard to be forgotten by friends. It's hard to be forgotten by family. It's hard to be forgotten by those you love. It's hard to be forgotten in your work. To not be checked on, to not be inquired after, to not be included or invited or involved, to not be recognized or identified, to be left out, alone, struggling, forgotten. Joseph was forgotten, but not by the Lord. The Lord did not forget Joseph. And the Lord does not forget you. The Lord Jesus Christ will not forget you. Our New Testament reading this morning from Luke's Gospel takes place during Jesus' crucifixion, where we read that God in the flesh was nailed to a cross and placed between two thieves. And as the three hung there, suffering and dying, the two condemned criminals on either side of Jesus speak to him. One of the criminals mocks Jesus. One of the criminals derides Jesus. But the other recognizes Jesus' innocence, that he had done no wrong, that he had committed no crime. He recognizes that Jesus is a king about to enter his kingdom, and he makes this request: Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There they are, hanging on the cross, and this thief, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What does he say? Remember me. This thief, this condemned criminal, this sinner about to enter the pit of death, teetering on the precipice next to the pit of death, knowing that there was something after death, knowing that Jesus would be reigning there, asks the Son of God to remember him. Remember me. Ask the Savior, who was suffering for his sins, dying for his sins at that very moment, to remember him. And Jesus answers this: truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. In other words, Jesus answers, I won't forget. I will remember you. You will be with me. Jesus will remember you. If you have come to believe in him as the crucified, sinless king who has conquered sin and death, he will not forget you. Ever. Eternally. Jesus will not forget your faithfulness. Even if you are in a pit, even if you are on the precipice of a pit, even if others have forgotten you, even if you have been disregarded, the Son of God will not. Live in that assurance. Live in that truth. And when you don't feel it, when the pit is closing in, or when you're about to plummet, when you are left out, alone, struggling, forgotten, remind yourself of this truth and rejoice. Jesus is with you. Jesus remembers you. Let us pray. Our Father, we give you thanks that you remember us, that we are yours through your Son, and that you do not and will not forget us. Thank you, Father, that you did not forget Joseph, but you had a plan for his life, a plan to save your people. And thank you, Father, that you don't forget us and you have plans for our lives. But thank you for your Son who saves us and remembers us. And in his name we pray. Amen.